Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography. I am Joseph Herrera.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Mark Sadowski.
How are you guys doing? How are you doing with this, every other week thing?
It's been okay. I think we're surviving. We're slowly letting the drugs get out of our system. I had the shakes for a little while, but other than that, I'm going to get so much hate mail for that one.
How are you doing, Matt?
Good. Mark, have you been demoted?
I literally demoted myself.
Okay.
I think after how last week went, my voice, by the way, is much better. Spoiler. but last episode went so well that I thought we'd keep Joe up there. Plus, we got a few 5-star reviews, so I'm like,
he did do a good job, and I was making sure I didn't miss a staff meeting.
Yeah. There we go.
Has anybody done anything like iPhone related image wise? Have you guys been out doing assignments or anything?
I will be tomorrow.
Ooh, what are you doing?
I actually have the day off work, which is awesome. 4-day weekend for Memorial Day.
Yes.
So I am going to cruise up to Cuyahoga Valley National Park and seek out all the waterfalls and do a bunch of waterfall photography.
Nice.
Nice.
I've actually been doing a little bit of, what's that phrase? Eating crow. you guys will find out about it in just a little bit. But well, why don't we just start with it right now?
I'm excited.
Let's go into the news.
I'll try to get that timing down next time. Let you say it first.
Yes.
I'll get it right, boss. I swear.
All right, Mark, lead us in.
So last episode, I basically poo-pooed Hipstamatic. I poo-pooed Ogle. And basically just, I could care less about those apps. I think it was because they came out with a new cinematic app, which, by the way, I still could care less about that one. But I haven't tried it yet. That's why. I will test it, but I felt a little bad because I'm like, it's been a year. Maybe they got better. Maybe I'll give it another go. So I re-downloaded Hipstamatic and I re-downloaded Ogle, and I have to say, I can't say that Hipstamatic is a buggy piece of crap anymore. It's not buggy. They actually did a great job fixing it up. It's not crashing on me like crazy. It's not crashing on me at all, actually. That being said, I still don't like it. But it has nothing to do with the app. It's just that I'm not a big fan of the filters that they have. I think it's a little bit too much for my taste. However, the app has become much, much improved. It's a really good, solid app. So if you're a fan of that kind of filtering and that kind of photography, by all means, it's a great app to pick up. It's just not for me. Now, back to Ogle. Ogle was one of those apps that I just could not stand last year. And interestingly enough, that after that episode, after I re-downloaded the app, I noticed that my one-year membership was expiring that very same day. So it was providence for me to come back to Ogle. So I re-upped my membership. You don't have to do the membership, but if you do a one-year membership, it's $10. I'm like, you know what? I'll do it. I kind of poo-pooed them, so fair enough. And I have to say, this app is really good. Here's what's different. It has a home screen that lets you follow different feeds, Instagram being one of them.
Really?
So, so imagine Instagram, but you wanted to follow, say, a particular hashtag like tiny shutter or landscapes or, you know, food photography. It allows you to custom build your feeds. So your home screen will have kind of like the mini display. It's kind of a grid-like display where it's two in a row and then just, you know, just keep scrolling down. And it just labels everything, whether it's landscape or, you know, tiny shutter or a particular filter or people that you're following. Mm-hmm. It allows you to track those feeds. And I have to say, that's pretty good. I kind of wish that Instagram would do something like that. So in that respect, Ogle is kind of one-upping them. I mean, they won't because of sheer numbers, but yeah. It's really cool.
So you can view the other apps, but can you interact with them?
Yeah, you can view the other feeds and you can interact with them. You could, oh, okay. It's the same thing. You go into those feeds and you start liking, the Ogle feeds is what I'm saying. Instagram is just one of the feeds that will be brought in.
Okay.
So sharing photos, it's the same thing. You basically upload either your Hipstamatic photos, or you could just import photos and just apply the Hipstamatic filters to them and then share away, label them how you like. It's that part is pretty much the same, and it's painless, and it's fine. And again, it comes to the same thing. I'm not a big fan of the Hipstamatic filters. I think they're either too much or not enough sometimes. It really depends. I am not a big fan. So the filters that I do apply are very, very minimal. And here's the part that I don't get, though. So I upload a photo to Instagram, right?
Yeah.
And immediately goes into the feeds and people will start to like it. And then after a certain period, it wanes, and then it just kind of falls to the wayside, being replaced by other photos that I put up there. I think that's a lifespan for everybody's photos, I would imagine, or a vast majority. Does that describe what goes on with your feeds?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. There's a period of time where it's hot, and then it does taper off.
Right. And then every now and then a straggler will come in, check out your feed.
You're like, dude, that was like 45 weeks ago. Right. How the heck did you find it?
So with Ogle, it's a little different and I can't figure it out. So I would upload a photo, right? And then all of a sudden I would get this enormous amount of action for photos that I posted a long time ago. And then, you know, a few weeks later, I post another photo. And then the photo that I posted a few weeks prior will start getting the action and not the current one. So I don't know how people are viewing these photos. It's kind of up in the air. I haven't quite figured that out. I mean,
interesting.
It's fascinating. I don't know the logic behind what they do and how things appear on feeds. But that's a little weird. That being said, I mean, all in all, though, I really like it. I'm going to hold on to it. And I have to give proper credit to With iPhone, who is on our Instagram feed, hashtag Tiny Shutter. He has been the only person on Ogle to use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And he would be in there posting away. So I am joining the cause. I am adding photos in there as well. And if you are part of Ogle and want to contribute, just add the hashtag Tiny Shutter and post away. You will be seen by at least two other people. And again, nice. Ogle is a free app, or you could pay the membership. The membership allows you to have access to all of the filters, all the lens types and all the film types, which I personally don't care about. However, I chipped in because, you know, it felt like the right thing to do. So go ahead, download it. I give it 4.5 out of 5.
Wow, that's pretty generous.
Yeah, Matt, it would have gotten 5, but I don't even know what I'm giving them. So, are they stars? Are they planets? I don't know.
I think they're stars.
Sure, let's go with that. I give them 4 out of 5 filters.
There you go, Matt. What do you have any thoughts on it? Are you using a Hipstamatic at all?
No, I haven't had that on my phone in a couple of years now.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I don't hate it or anything like that. It just I don't know. It just wasn't my thing, I guess.
It's a culture unto itself.
It is. I think for me, go ahead.
I think we talked about this once before. Like, I feel with Hipstamatic, you have to be like 100% dedicated to it.
Yeah.
And, I can't do that, you know, especially with, you know, co-hosting a iPhone photography podcast. I need to branch out and try different things. And even regardless of that, that's just what I want to do. You know, I don't want to be locked into this one app that is, it feels like the be all end all if you really get into it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a little bit that way now with ViscoCam. I mean, it's almost the same thing, but I like the filters much, much, much better with ViscoCam than I ever did with Hipstamatic.
Yeah. Oh, Matt, you'll be proud of me. I, just this morning, I ordered a diff case.
Cool. Which one?
Just the standard one. The one with just a tripod mount.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
For me, the problem with Hipstamatic is that I really felt like I had no control over my images. You know, you'd shake it and then it would apply a filter and you can, you know, take the images then. But I always like to do my own editing, and it kind of turned me off when I couldn't choose the different things. That was the way I felt about it. And then after that, I just felt no need to go back to it. So like you, Matt, I haven't had it on for like a couple of years. Plus I didn't want to spend money on filters that was going to probably only use once.
Yeah. That's the danger with these type of apps. You know, once you kind of get locked in, every time they decide to announce a new filter pack for, you know, 99 cents or a couple bucks or whatever, you're going to end up buying it. You know, I'm that way with ViscoCam. I have every single filter that they've ever put out. But I mean, I look at them before I buy them to see if it's something that I think I would like. But, I don't know. I'm a sucker for ViscoCam. I have a feeling that no matter what they put out, I would probably end up buying it.
Oh, good.
Yep. All right. Let's go ahead and move on. In the news lately, if you haven't noticed, there's a device that has popped up in the news. It's called the iStick, and it's a USB flash drive with lightning connection for the iPhone and iPad. It's got a Kickstarter, and their goal was $100,000. They've exceeded it by over 6 times that much, and they still have 25 days to go. And what it does is it allows you to load pictures, videos, what's it called? Documents onto the USB drive and connect it to your iPhone and be able to either download it onto or even view them from the flash drive themselves. And I thought, you know, that is a great way of being able to do that without a actual connection to a computer. And I think it's been in one of the things that I've wanted to have happen in a long time. So what are your guys' thoughts on it? And would you ever use this type of a device.
Well, when we were looking at this earlier, or actually, let me back up a little bit. Joe, when you and I were talking about this on my extremely long ride from work.
Stuck in traffic.
That should be a podcast. Yes. It seemed pretty cool. But now then we were looking at this in our pre-show. We need to have an app for this.
Yes.
Now, it kind of all depends. If this app, if you have to do everything through this app, fine. If the app is just merely a way to access all of your libraries and be able to transfer back and forth, then you know what? That might not be a bad thing to do. But if right. it's only, if your stuff is only stuck in one specific area, for example, if you're only stuck in this iStick library, right. where you can only stick your stuff into this stick, and then that's it. Try saying that five times fast. Yeah. Then I don't know. I don't think it's worth it. But
one of the things I was thinking the same thing. Anytime I add any images to my phone, it doesn't put it directly into my image app. Well, I mean, it's not in the forefront of the Photos app. It's always in a folder. So I imagine, you know, we'll have access to it in a folder. But the way Apple, you know, makes their iPhones and iPads and everything with the iOS, they rarely let you just go in and do what you want. I think the app is what they had to do the workaround. But yeah. Just a little bit of the specifications. They're going to have an 8 gigabyte, a 16, 32, 64, and 128 gigabyte memory storage, and ranging from $129 to $500 or $400. Sorry.
All right. I'm looking at their prices right now. Early bird special is like, for the 8 gig model is like $65, right?
Yep.
But it
after that is $79.
$79 for 8 okay. gigs. All right. This is where I draw the line. Is this worth it? No. Because I'm a photographer by trade, and I have like a metric ton of SD cards and CF cards.
Yeah.
And they basically grow in my backyard by now. I just plant one and then another tree grows and I just pick them off the branches.
But you can get a gold one.
No, I'm not paying $79. I'm not paying $80 plus shipping and handling for 8 gigs.
For 8 gigs, yeah.
when I could get an SD card or a CF card of like a super fast 32 gig. That with incredible write speed. No, this isn't worth it. This is dumb. I'm sorry. What? I can't believe I didn't see this earlier. That's the Polish in me. And I'm sorry. But, you know, this iStick is trying to stick me. And I don't want it to stick me.
So, Matt, what are your thoughts?
Well, so if it were more affordable, I guess I would use this like in a slightly different way. I'd probably not put my pictures on it. I'd probably put all of my music on it and free up more of the space on the iPhone for pictures. I mean, I've noticed you can cram a lot of pictures onto an iPhone. You know, I mean, granted, I have a 64 gigabyte iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have several hundred pictures on it right now, and that's only like a tiny little chunk of space compared to the music and apps that I have on the phone.
Spend right. $25 for the iCloud sync up, and then all your music will be stored on iTunes, and then you can listen to it from the cloud.
But if you're
cheaper.
If you're in a dead zone, like say the great outdoors where there is no cell service, then you're stuck.
Yeah, and I don't have unlimited data, so.
Yeah, neither do I.
No, that's true.
One of the things that I was thinking of this would be great for is video. The problem with trying to do video is that the video will take up more space faster than the still images. And if I'm going to do a series of shots for video, I need to be, I only have the 16 gigs, so I have to take it off of my iPhone and store it somewhere else. But if I can store them all onto this, then I can edit the shots that I want, you know, and be able to store them on the iPhone and still leave the full videos on the memory stick. So there are some, you know, probably advantages of having it, but I don't know. I'm curious to see how people like it and what the reviews are. I'm going to wait for it to come out before I even think about getting it.
All right, let me play devil's advocate for you there.
Okay.
Now, you're out on a family outing. Let's say for the day. Let's make it a day trip. So you're taking a lot of video of the family, taking a lot of video of the kids. You fill up your iPhone pretty quickly. Say you have like maybe, if you're going by mine, my iPhone, say you have 4 gigs of free space available, right?
Right.
You fill that up, grab your iStick, and you stick it in, and you fill up that 4 gigs of free space, and with your 8 gigs, you keep going, you keep going. Sooner or later, you're going to fill up the 8 gigs, and then you're still stuck where you were before.
Yes, unless you clip what you want out of the videos and then get rid of the full videos.
Or you just bring your computer.
And then you don't have power and you run out of battery.
It's a laptop.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's... Yeah, I, you know, you have a good point there. Also, you know, I think we can get creative and try to figure this out. But I really want to see how people like it after they get their hands on it, and maybe we might I might get one and review it.
If it was like $30 for like 8 gigs, I'd definitely be all over this. But it's $80 for 8 gigs. That's,
I know,
that's a ripoff. I understand that they need to pay the license fee for the Lightning connector, and you know that's probably where some of that money is going, because it's an unknown entity. They have to pay for the licensing stuff.
Right.
Whatever. I say let this play out. Maybe it'll get cheaper down the road, and maybe I'll pick one up. But right now, as it stands, I'm not touching this. This is not worth it. I'll just bring my laptop. That's my 2 cents.
Okay.
Pricing is the only issue. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I don't like. Yeah. I have other means to do what this thing is doing.
All right. Well, that's it for the news. Let's go ahead and move into a topic that I thought would go well with the iStick. And let's talk about what we do, how we move our images from our devices, either to it or from it, and what you do with them afterwards. Do you just store them? Do you toss them? Or are you the spring cleaner, or are you a hoarder? So let's start with you, Matt.
All righty. Well, I don't know if I'm really I'm not really a hoarder in the sense that like every picture that I've ever taken is still on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of let it go a while before I do any kind of purging or cleaning or anything like that.
What's a while?
I'd say
a month.
Few months, or probably till there's like close to 1,000 pictures or so.
Okay.
something like that. So, what I usually do is, if I know I've taken like a bunch of pictures that the only place they are is on my phone, they're not anywhere else. When I back up my phone, so when I physically plug it into my computer and sync it and, you know, back it up and all that stuff, I'll make a folder in Aperture. I used to do iPhoto, but lately I've been moving all my pictures into Aperture, and I'll basically download all the pictures from the phone and save them in Aperture just so that I know that I have them. And then once I do that, if I have like a zillion billion pictures on my phone and I want to free up some space, I actually go into this is really only going to help people with a Mac. There's a little hidden utility on the Mac called Image Capture. Mm-hmm. And in that utility, you could mass delete pictures from pretty much any device that you have plugged into the computer. Nice. So that's like one of the frustrations with the iPhone. If you want to clean it up and you're trying to clean up pictures, you know, you have to delete them one by one, which is really annoying. And that could take, you know, forever to do. But in the Image Capture app, if you have your phone plugged into your computer, it'll show you every single photo file. And you can basically, you know, control click on all of them and delete them.
Yeah.
And then that'll wipe them off your phone. And it's a really quick way to clean up some space.
And do you ever send images to your iPhone to work on?
I don't think it's a two-way street on that.
You mean, do I put pictures on my phone that I took, like, with another camera, maybe?
Yeah, with your Sony.
I've never done that, no.
Oh, okay.
I've never thought of doing that with that app.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never felt the need to do any editing with an iPhone app. Other than on iPhone pictures, I guess.
Okay.
Like even with Snapseed, I mean, I have the desktop version of Snapseed, but I don't even really use that on my computer. So, yeah the short answer is no. It's not a two-way street.
Okay. What about you, Matt? I mean, Mark.
What Matt said. Okay. I do exactly the same thing. I don't know if who taught what first, but I know this was a topic early in the first few episodes of Tiny Shutter. I'm guessing we don't have the same audience still, so yeah, it's exactly the same thing. I hoard every single picture of mine.
Yes.
And I take it off the iPhone, throw it onto a folder, specially marked folder, and then I put it onto a external hard drive, never to see these photos again. I figure when my daughter grows up and I teach her the ways of the dark side, when I grow old and feeble, she will strike me down and take my
take
place.
Take your images.
And then take my images and see what kind of dad I was in the past.
Can I add just one thing to this?
Yeah.
What's that?
Okay, so if there's like a photo that I took that I took the time to edit it and, you know, whatever the result was, I really super duper like it a lot. Generally, I'll leave that edited version on my phone.
Okay.
So just because I feel like, oh, if anyone like asks me about photography or iPhone photography and they want to see some pictures, this is one that I'll want to show them. So I want it to be on my phone so that I could, you know, quickly show it to them or whatever.
I have a similar process to that, Matt, in that I still rip it off my phone. But instead of putting it into the recycle bin of my hard drive, my portable hard drive, I actually take it and put it into a special folder that's accessed through iTunes. So when I sync up my iPhone, it'll go back onto the phone. A lot of redundancy here. And It'll be on there to be displayed for all the world to see.
Yeah, and there's tons and tons of different ways that you could, you know, do this kind of stuff. You could do it through Dropbox or
whatever,
you know. And then I don't know, if you're more serious about photography, a lot of the photo-oriented web services have, you know, apps that sync with your website. And, you know, so if you have a portfolio site or whatever, you know, it's pretty easy to bring those up on your phone and show all your pictures. And
yeah,
we don't ever talk about Flickr on this show, but I post on Flickr from time to time, and I have the Flickr app. So, you know, I can easily show people pictures on Flickr. So things are pretty accessible, but, excuse me, I'm trying not to cough. yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely don't wait until my phone is super full, unlike other people in my family do. But,
you know, little Joe needs to work on his workflow.
That's right. I try to teach him, but man, all he does is videos.
For me, mine's a little bit different, you know, because I will add images from my Canon to my iPhone. I've just kind of gotten into this phase in my life where I really don't want to sit in front of a computer. I want to be able to edit on the fly. Of course I have to use the computer to get the images over, but I don't feel the desire to sit there and try to emit, sort of be nailed to the computer to edit my images. So I do sort of the same thing y'all do. I take the USB and connect it to my computer. But I go into the file management, and I will do you can do copy to a folder or move to a folder. What the move to a folder does is it will copy those to the folder, but then it will delete everything after it's done copying. So it's just a one click option, and I'm using this is for PCs. Copy to is if I just wanted to copy them and then still leave them on my phone. I run out of space pretty quickly, so I'm constantly moving in images, I would say maybe twice at least a month. And when we're in a new month, I'll create a folder for that month, and everything that I took from that month, I'll just move it in there. And if I decided to make subfolders of specific events, then I'll do that. Like I had the service project at work. So the images came off and I put them in their own folder within that month. And just last weekend, we had a camp out for Royal Rangers, our powwow for the district. And I took some video, but I mainly took a lot of still shots with my iPhone. And as I went along each day on the camp, I would offload them onto the computer just for some safekeeping, because we're in and around a lot of water. If I was to drop my phone and it decided to soak up the water, then the images would be gone. So that was kind of a way for me to have it in two places at one time, and I wouldn't have to worry about losing them all. But then the same thing with what you guys do to put move images into another folder after you've taken the images that you want. I put them in iTunes, and they will sync them up to my phone in a separate folder within the Photos app. So that's just a little bit of my workflow. If you guys have anything different or want to share anything, just email us or comment on the on our website on the episode. This is going to be episode 90.
We're getting really close to 100.
Jiminy crickets. Let us know, send us a note, and we can mention it on another episode of what you guys do. Most likely it's going to be all the same, but you never know what we can learn when other people speak up. All right, let's move into post pick of the week.
All righty, and I was totally not zoning out on my soundboard here.
Post pick of the week.
Yay. All right, Mark, it's your turn.
Yay, I can speak and I can actually say what this is. This week I am picking a photo by Ryan Miller 05, and it's simply a photo of an iris. And by iris, I mean the flower, not an eyeball. It's taken so long for some sort of warm weather to hit the New England area. I know, Matt, you did a flower photo for one of your post picks of the week, but this one caught my eye because, one, it's my wife's favorite type of flower, and two, it's a really nice macro photo. I don't know if bonus points.
Fuji X100. I thought that's why you picked it.
No, I didn't even notice this. That's bonus points. He wins this week and next week, which is an off week, but nonetheless. So, excellent job, Ryan. This is truly a work of art because it is done with a superior Fuji, not some crappy iPhone.
You're fired. Good job.
It's Ryan. A really sharp photo.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you guys have an image that you want to share, hashtag Tiny Shutter on Instagram.
And Ogle.
And Ogle. Good luck. and you will add it to the over 20,000 images that we have on Instagram. Every other week we will go through and choose a post pick of the week, and it will be prominently displayed on our website with the episode. So good job. All right. Let's go ahead and move into focus points.
Focus point.
All right. Matt, why don't you go ahead and start us off with a focus point?
I could do that. So this week I'm playing with an app that just recently came out. It is called Circular. And I don't know why. I had a hard time finding it in the app store.
I did too when you mentioned it on the Tiny Shutter feed.
Yeah, so it's put out by the company Brain Fever Media, who have also given us fantastic apps such as Lens Flare and Lens Light and Alien Sky, which is one that I really like from them. So in any case, what Circular is essentially, in its simplest form, is a tiny planet app.
Oh, yes.
But what it does is it's really unlike any other tiny planet app I've ever used in terms of its editing features. So it does the tiny planet thing, and it also has an invert function, so it's kind of like how you described in the last episode, Joe. It looks like you're coming out of a hole, yeah, or whatever. All right, so it does that stuff, but what really, in my opinion, makes this app super duper cool is you could actually scale the effect, so you could basically like increase or decrease the size of your tiny planet like up and down basically. So So you could have like more sky or less sky, you know, in a bigger planet or a smaller planet, which is pretty cool. You can rotate it. So if you don't like, you know, you like the way it turned out, but you wish that like the clouds or whatever were in a different part of the image, you can actually rotate the image pretty much a full 360 degrees. You could also repeat the image. So it basically will, if you hit repeat once, it basically takes your image, stacks another one on top of it at 180 degrees. Uh-huh. And then if you were to hit repeat again, it basically staggers them at like 45 degrees, or not 45, but I don't know, 120 degrees, I'd say, from each other. And you can just keep hitting repeat and keep multiplying your image, which is really cool, but it doesn't change the exposure or anything like that.
Oh.
And then you could take it away too. Like if you decide it kind of looks goofy or whatever, you could subtract the repeats, which is cool. And then it has some different filters, just some different effects, like, I don't know, warm filters, cool filters, contrast, things of that nature. And you could increase and decrease the brightness and saturation, and you could apply textures and all that fun stuff. So another thing that I thought is really cool is that they've incorporated some of their effects from their other apps like Lens Flare and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually add a lens flare or like these, you know, solar flare type effects to your tiny planet. And you can even add sky object. They call it sky objects. So like, you know, birds. Moons and crescent moons. And,
oh, okay.
And yes, birds. They have a variety of different birds. And
yellow stars, pink hearts.
Yeah, and then they even have what they call centers. And some of those are basically like, I don't know, like the Earth or whatever. It's, you know, it just looks like an Earth or like just some other type of planet or orb of some sort. And so let's say you create a tiny planet, but the only part of the image that you really like is the sky. You could incorporate one of these centers into the image. So it basically covers whatever your, you know, whatever the ground is in the picture.
And, so you can resize it.
Yep. Yeah. Everything is scalable and you can move it to wherever you want it to be in the frame, which is pretty neat. And then all of those effects I just mentioned, all of the flares and all that kind of stuff, you could scale it. You could change the brightness. You could adjust the color. And then you could also do all these things in layers, which is pretty sweet. So it has, I don't know how many layers it'll work with. I think it's like seven layers or so. And you could bring layers to the front, send them to the back, make them visible or invisible, all that kind of fun stuff. It's really, really cool. And for anyone that's thinking like, you know, big deal, another tiny planet app, they're so stupid. I really honestly think you should go to brainfevermedia.com.
Yes.
Click on the circular app little tab and watch the like 50-second video that they put together for the app, because it'll knock your socks off and really inspire you and make you look at these tiny planet apps in like a whole new way. Just, I don't know. To me, it's just kind of mind blowing. I just never thought to add these effects to a tiny planet picture, and it just makes them so much more creative, in my opinion.
The sunset is one of the images they have of a sunset. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to find a sunset and do that.
It's a it's a very cool app. I'm pretty pleased with it. So it's making me look at tiny planet pictures in kind of a new way. Like, you know, I done one or two of them before, and they're kind of neat and they're fun to play around with, but at the same time they're kind of gimmicky. And you know, if you're taking your photography seriously, it's kind of like, really, like, you know, what, who's buying tiny planet pictures or publishing them or whatever, you know? It's really kind of just a fun gimmick, but I think this app is really showing that you could really get creative with them, and you could really produce some really neat, some really cool results, basically.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Did I sound passionate about this?
A little bit.
No, that was awesome.
I do think it's cool. I really like it. And I don't remember what it costs. I think it was like $1.99.
It's $1.99.
On a bit of a tangent, there was this guy who posted a video on Vimeo, and it is, I think he set up at least 6 GoPros, and he did this video of him riding his bike, driving his car, and it's a pretty funny, tiny planet-looking thing. Got to check that out.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't me. No. This was some series production.
Oh, okay.
it's seamless, and it's,
send me the link. I'll put it in there.
I'll try to find it.
Yeah, I'll link the brainfevermedia.com and the iOS the app store link in the show notes. Mark, what do you have?
I have, oh my God, after that long speech, I forgot what I had. I am recommending anybody who has an iPad and access to Adobe Cloud, in particular, any kind of subscription that involves Photoshop and or Lightroom, to check out Lightroom for the iPad. It's an interesting way to do some photo editing on the fly. I've been playing around with this, and I'm going to do an in-depth review later down the road, but in the meantime, it's a fun app to play with. It's kind of along the same lines, like as far as editing detail, it's kind of like Snapseed, but not as easy to use as Snapseed. That's as far as I'll go with that. But anybody who has it, give it a try. It's a nice workflow. If you're familiar with Lightroom, then you'll be familiar with this app. I think that's the big difference. But it's the first iOS device that can edit raw footage, basically. Wow. Or raw footage, raw photos. I don't know if it could do actual video, but it edits raw photos. And it syncs up with your Adobe Cloud account and all that fun stuff. So nice. Go ahead and check that out.
Cool. I have, it's not a photo app, but it is an iOS app. Lately, I've been doing a lot of web stuff, and so I've needed to send things like documents or photos to a server. And I was like, man, I wish I had an FTP connection on my iPhone. And I found I had downloaded it before, but wasn't really, you know, using it. But FTP Manager is what I found and I have been using. So I can go and I can create a PDF document. And if I need to put it on the server to create a link, so that I don't have to email it out, I'm able to do that from my iPhone. And it's been awesome because then I can be out in the field. If somebody sent me a Word document and I was able to create a PDF and then put it on the website and then send them a link to send to everybody else, I can do that without having to be at my computer. As you can notice, I'm more and more, you know, my tendencies are to get away from my computer. So anything that can help me do my job on an iPhone, I'm able to do. So check it out. It's free. I was able to log into a server with my credentials. It does take a little bit of getting used to, but I was able to figure out how to upload easily to the server, and I'm very happy with it. It's FTP Manager, and it's free.
Nice.
So, all right. I think we're done. Let's, Matt, tell the world where they can find you.
I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Awesome. Mark.
You can find me on the web at offthemark.com. That's Mark with a C.
Very cool. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. If you enjoy the show, please give us a 5-star review or even comment. Let us know how we're doing. Apparently, Mark has thought that I've been doing pretty well, so because of those reviews. So if you think Mark's doing a great job, send us some reviews.
No, don't go that far, because I really don't want the hate mail anymore. You're doing a bang-up job. I thought you did a fantastic job last weekend. I think it's making the show much, much better. So that's my thoughts.
Well, cool. I'm enjoying it. All righty. I think that's it. So we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
In the meantime, though, I'd also like to add that to check out Casual Photography, the show that we'll be doing next week. You'll find that in the feed, Tiny Shutter, not Tiny Shutter feed, casualphotography.net. My God, I am all over the place right now.
And this is why Joe has taken the lead.
Oh, no. Yeah, I couldn't say it better myself. I tried to, but it would take 5 minutes. Summed it up pretty quickly. but check out Casual Photography on our off week, and then, you know, that'll give you a feel of photography, and maybe we'll mention iPhone photography on Casual Photography.
Yeah.
I'll shut up now.
All right. If you have any comments or suggestions, email us, and that's it. We'll see you guys next time.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.